Ladies and gentlemen, good morning to Aburco Argo's conference, results for the first quarter of 2019. Right now, all participants are in silent mode. Afterwards, we'll have a Q&A session, and the instructions will be given in that precise moment of the Q&A session. If anyone needs the assistance of an operator, please press star and zero. Just as a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Now let's welcome Natalia Gouvêlin.
Good afternoon. This is Natalia Gouvêlin, Director of Investor Relations. We want to thank you for your participation in this call. We will be discussing the results for Grupo Argos for the first quarter of 2019. With me, I have Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedrahíta, Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Finances for Grupo Argos, Camilo Abello, Vice President of Corporate Matters for Grupo Argos, Juan Clara Pizarro, Real Estate Business Manager, Mauricio Oza, President of Odisea, and Paula Gallardo, Vice President of Corporate Finances of Odisea. This conference is being translated simultaneously into English. We remember you all reports as well as special reports. Further information and presentations will be found in English and Spanish in our portal, www.grupoargos.com. In this same webpage, we have placed the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, please go into Financial Information section, and afterwards, the Reports section, where you'll find a file called Presentation 1T 2019. We want to invite you all to go to slide number three, and I will give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos.
Thank you, Natalia, and good afternoon for you all. Welcome to this call, where we'll be sharing the results of Grupo Argos during the first quarter 2019. Before starting with the figure analysis, I would like to highlight how each one of the investments of our business is framed under the strategic path underlined by Grupo Argos as an active holding, in which execution you could see clearly the growing value generation as a business group for you, our shareholders. We close our first quarter 2019 with positive results, both at a consolidated as well as separate level, which we wanted to highlight the growth of the 32% net profit of the controller, reaching 144 billion Colombian pesos. If we would exclude the non-recurrent effect of the Cementos Argos disinvestments in that same period of 2018, this specific point would have grown at 93% compared year after year. This increase is expressed not just the good results of the quarter, but a positive trend that has been kept in the last periods that clearly shows our portfolio management has allowed the improvement of the profitability at a global level and has strengthened the value generation in each one of the businesses. In this line, up to March 2019, we closed with a positive growth both in revenue as well as in EBITDA, as well as in profit, in our net profit, confirming our positive dynamic in our businesses, which led to growing revenues of 3.7 trillion Colombian pesos. This is 12% higher than what we had last year. These achievements are specifically significant if we analyze them from their coherence from our strategic north, where I would like to highlight four of our most relevant investments in this period. To begin, in the energy business, we've been executing since more than a year now, a reorganization and simplification of its capital structure with the end of preparing Celsia to face the immense opportunities of the electric market, focusing its growth and capital allocation in non-conventional renewable energies as well as energy distribution. This reorganization has been led by the capital market, gave its first fruits this quarter with Celsia going to the Lima market through the acquisition of the electric assets of Enel Tolima, by which we're consolidating a base of customers that exceeds 1.1 million customers, which places Celsia as the fourth most relevant player in the Colombian electric market. This step will represent for the energy business a higher profitability and more opportunities of capturing operational and commercial synergies that will allow us to have a much more attractive value offer for our customers. Also, our strategy is focused in consolidating a robust and diversified portfolio that will generate more value to our shareholders. In this sense, during this quarter, we would like to highlight the bond emissions that were carried out in Ecuador, where the Mariscal Sucre Airport Quipos for a value of $400 million. This is the first debt emission that has been emitted by a private entity in the last 20 years in that country. With this emission, we're capturing value through the improvement of the asset financial structure and granting a higher financial flexibility to Odinsa in order to keep on allocating capitals and strengthening its concession portfolio. At the same time, it's also important to highlight the approval of the feasibility phases that have been recently granted by ANI to the El Dorado International Airport work field. That this is not just insignificant for Odinsa, given that it's a project that has originated within the company, but also for the country. This will allow us to prepare our airport infrastructure for that growing national demand, which becomes a very important factor for the competitiveness of the country. We see this step with enthusiasm, and with it, the national government is proving which is the most important and most efficient way for the strengthening of our national air infrastructures. In cement, our strategic route is focused on profitability after the successful execution of the operational and financial projects that were implemented in Colombia under the BEST program. During 2019, we have the goal of replicating this experience in the United States region, where we want to capture savings for $40 million, focused in optimizing the operation of the 7 main markets in this country, under initiatives that go from the improvement of efficiency of the concrete network up to the optimization of the logistics network and the reduction of the energy costs. We are convinced that the improvement in efficiency for these regions, together with an adequate commercial strategy within the rest of the markets, will allow us to improve structurally the consolidated profit of the cement business. All these actions were supported by Grupo Argos, where as holding, to keep on working in a disciplined manner in optimizing our capital structure as a direct manner of generating value for our shareholders and maintaining a necessary flexibility to keep on developing our strategy. During the quarter, we made debt amortization for a bit more than 100 billion Colombian pesos. We were able to reduce the separate stock in a 16% in order to reach an indicator of 2.2 times net debt over EBITDA, with a debt cost under 6.7%. Our policy in this point is clear. The capacity of efficiently allocating capital goes through keeping an adequate financial flexibility. Because of this, we keep on rigorously maintaining our capital structure. Before drilling down into the consolidated results, I want to invite you to slide number 5, in order to mention that this will be the first quarter of the NIF-16 applications, which seek to reflect the present and future impact of the acquired commitments by the company in terms of rental. The adoption of this norm has effects both in the balance as well as in the state of results. In the balance, the register of the present value of this rental contract is accounted as a higher value of the asset and as well as a higher value of liability in the long term. In the state of results, this change in the rental recognition implies the elimination of an expense but substituted by a depreciation expense and a financial expense. This change has an impact in an increase in the EBITDA, given that we stopped recognizing the expenses due to rentals. Going into detail of this quarter, on slide number 6, up to March this year, consolidated results present growth at a revenue level, EBITDA level, and net profit level, confirming the positive dynamics of our business. The revenue presented a growth of 12% year after year, placing itself in 3.7 trillion Colombian pesos through positive contributions in all strategic businesses as well as in the associated businesses. In terms of the EBITDA, for the end of the quarter, we had 998 billion Colombian pesos. This is a 6% growth with an EBITDA margin that's kept at 27%. I want to especially highlight the good performance observed in the cement business that constantly, during the last quarters, has been registering operational improvements that are clearly evident in the volume growth, both in cement as well as in concrete, together with better prices in Colombia and better prices of concrete in the United States. At the same time, following this good performance of our businesses, we would like to highlight that we've achieved efficiencies at taxation and financial expenses that are reflected in a higher consolidated profit. Specifically, taxation expenses, we obtained a reduction of a 27%, which is associated to a lower current tax and to a lower deferred tax that, for the case of Cementos Argos and Grupo Argos, improved as a consequence of the taxation change that goes from presumptive rent to liquid rent. The sum of all these factors led to a net profit for this quarter that reaches 223 billion Colombian pesos. It's a net profit of this controller that leads to 144 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 32% if we compare the figure with last year's. This results prove the capacity of this group in generating value in a continuous manner for its shareholders. It is also important to indicate that there's two non-recurring effects that are reflected in the results at the end of March. From one side, during the first quarter of the previous year, Cementos Argos carried out a disinvestment of the auto-generation plant with an effect of 71 billion Colombian pesos in EBITDA, and from another side, the implementation of NIS-16, which has an impact on the consolidated EBITDA close to 45 billion Colombian pesos due to a larger asset amortization and a larger financial expenses that we previously explained. With the end of comparing these results, we made a pro forma discounting these two extraordinary effects, which confirm the good results in terms of operations. When we eliminate this impact, we observe a consolidated EBITDA that would have registered a positive variation of 10%, closing at 953 billion Colombian pesos, a net profit that would have had an increase of 49%, and a net profit for the controller that's doubled compared with the result of the same period last year. In terms of separated results, I want to invite you to visit slide number 9. Up to March this year, separated revenues for Grupo Argos were of 308 billion Colombian pesos, which are broken down into 57 billion Colombian pesos for the participation method, 29 billion Colombian pesos of the real estate business, and 222 billion Colombian pesos for financial activity. The revenues explained by financial activity explained in both periods the disinvestment of the EPSA actions owned by Grupo Argos that for the first quarter 2018 represented 655 billion Colombian pesos and for the first quarter of 2019 represented 123 billion Colombian pesos, concluding this way the total disinvestment of Grupo Argos in EPSA. In terms of the participation method, this was of 57 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter, presenting a negative variation with a comparison base that which includes in 2018 the disinvestment of the self-generators owned by Grupo by Cementos Argos. If we eliminate this non-recurrent effect in 2018, the participation method for the quarter would have presented a positive variation of 38%. This two non-operational effects over the financial results of Grupo Argos, EBSA disinvestment, and the impact of a higher income in 2018 due to disinvestment of the self-generation assets, as well as the accounting impact due to the adoption of NIF-16, are eliminated in order to have a better comparison between figures, which gives a result of a growing EBITDA of 14% year after year. In terms of the administrative and sales expenses, this show a growth mainly explained due to increase of depreciations and amortizations of NIF-16. Nevertheless, it's important to highlight that the manageable expenses of Grupo Argos keep showing a decreasing trend with a quarter reduction of 6%. In terms of the net profit, this would have reached 108 billion Colombian pesos, growing 26% year after year. This increase is explained due to a better behavior of the operational results, with higher efficiencies in terms of recurrent expenses and the reduction of the leveraging that we will be detailing up next. For March 2019, the separated debt was closed in 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos. This means 16% under the one that was presented in the same period last year. This reduction in the debt stock is explained by a strategy, an optimal treasury management strategy, where the perceived revenues in this quarter are mainly used in order to improve the leveraging profile that holding has in the short term, trying to improve and optimize our capital structure. The leveraging indicators were closed in 2.2 times gross debt over adjusted EBITDA, which allow us to have the necessary flexibility to execute our future vision. As well, we have low financial costs, which are explained by trust of the capital market and the banks. Moving on to the operational results by business, I want to invite you to start by concessions on slide number 13. During this quarter, we had significant advancements in terms of Odin's strategy, reaching three milestones which are relevant for the future of this organization. In the first instance, we were able to place keyboard bonds for $400 million, a mission that was over-demanded in 1.9 times, being this the first corporate bond in the country in the last 20 years, and that's aligned with the strategy of optimizing the capital structure of those existing assets as a path of improving the complete profitability of Odin's portfolio. And second, we concluded the construction of Mulatos Tunnel in Pacifico Dos concession, reaching an advancement of 66% of the work. The finalization of this tunnel is relevant in the measure that it allows to reduce significantly the risk, the construction risk associated to this project. Third, I want to highlight the resolution of the controversy between the Infrastructure National Agency and Odinsa due to the Maya Vía del Meta concession. Through the arbitration, the dates were fixed in order to reach solutions that will allow the profitable execution of this project. Besides these three achievements, as it was mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, we see with enthusiasm the recent approval of the feasibility stage given by AMI to the Ampliación de campo del nuevo aeropuerto internacional Dorado project, which is led by Odensa, which allows to optimize the use of both runways that exist right now in this airport and improve the operational capacity of it. This initiative, that's right now in a very advanced stage of design, is a sample of our capacity in structuring projects and keep on building a robust and profitable portfolio for high-value concessions. Moving on to the operational results found on slide number 13, during the first quarter of 2019, we observed an increase in traffic, daily traffic reaching 79,000 vehicles per day. This represents a growth of 5% year after year, while the number of passengers in the airport was kept the same, which is 9.3 million for this quarter. This traffic is especially positive if we remember that Easter 2018 happened during March. Because of this, the positive effect of that festivity in 2019 will be reflected in the results of the second quarter and don't have results or effects over the results of this first quarter. Now, to learn about the financial results of the concession business, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 16. Revenues reached 199 billion Colombian pesos with an 8% growth compared with 2018. In this increase, we want to highlight the contribution of road concessions that had a positive contribution of 10%, reaching revenues of 152 billion Colombian pesos. The EBITDA closed this quarter in 142 billion Colombian pesos, which represent an increase compared with the same period last year of 14%, mainly impacted by the increase of the construction segment as a result of the advancements in concession Pacifico 2. As well, we want to highlight the stability in the operational expenses. Given that Odensa's results don't consolidate OPAIN, I want to invite you to go over the main operational advancements and the behavior of these figures, which are found in slide number 17. The first quarter 2019, OPAIN closed with stable operational figures, showing an increase of 1% year after year in terms of passengers. These were numbers imposed by the international operations, which had a growth of 7%, while national operations had a decrease of 2%. This decrease is explained by the celebration of Easter week that was made in different moments of time in both years. The operational revenues grew significantly for the quarter, reaching 263 billion Colombian pesos for an increase of 18%, where the regulated revenues had a growth of 9% and the non-regulated a growth of 10%, thanks to the implementation of a new and powerful commercial strategy. EBITDA reached 82 billion Colombian pesos, increasing a 14% year after year as product of a good operational management and the efficiency plan that was implemented in the airport. In terms of the net profit, this reached 5 billion Colombian pesos, showing an increase of 6%. The lowest proportion in terms of the EBITDA is explained due to the larger amortizations and the increase of the financial expenses which were associated to the implementation of the NIS-16 norm. Now that we've seen the concession business, I propose moving on and moving on to the cement business that you can find in slide number 18. Before going into the figures of this first quarter, I would like to highlight the important advancements in terms of efficiencies, EBITDA generation, and the closeness that we have with our customers, which have we have kept during this quarter. In terms of efficiency, the best program results were extended into the United States, where we had a savings close to $500 million with a goal of reaching $40 million, which support an EBITDA expectation for this region between $300 and $320 million for this year. Besides the profitability, we know that our competitive advantage in the cement business is found in understanding our customers. In order for our portfolio to be closer to their needs. Under this train of thought, during this first quarter, we would like to highlight the advancements in terms of digital transformation and innovation with examples such as the Argos One consolidation. This is a virtual platform that today receives 61% of the cement orders and 44% of the concrete orders in Colombia, and that keeps growing month after month. Likewise, as part of the asset disinvestment plan, in order to reduce leveraging, Cementos Argos subscribed an agreement to participate from the OPA for the Cartón de Colombia shares, which represented participation of 2.14% for that company, which we expect receiving $10 million. This will be used to prepay debts with the end of reaching our objective of reaching a leveraging indicator of 3.2 times net debt over EBITDA for the middle of 2020. In operational matters, volume numbers in terms of dispatches gave positive signals both in Colombia and the United States, reaching a consolidated dispatch for close to 4 million cement tons and close to 2.5 million cubic meters of concrete. So we want to highlight that the growth of 13% in the volumes of cement in the United States. As a result of this, the revenue of the first quarter closed in 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos, showing a 14% growth year after year, highlighting that besides the higher volumes, both in cement as well as in concrete, we also observed a favorable price dynamic in the main markets where we are present. The operational EBITDA for the quarter, eliminating the non-recurrent effects that for the first quarter this year comprehend the land prices for Colombia, close to 10 billion Colombian pesos, and the application of NIF-16, which represents 311 billion Colombian pesos, represent 4% higher than the operational EBITDA that we had in 2018, eliminating the disinvestment effect that we had in the auto-generation plant and self-generation plant. This result is the consequence of the better dynamics observed in the main markets of the United States and Colombia, together with the efficiencies that have been already captured in this market, led by the BEST 2.0 initiatives. To end with the results of the cement business, the net profit for the quarter was 15 billion Colombian pesos with a reduction of 72%. Explained by the non-recurrent impact that we previously mentioned. I would also like to highlight that the good operational results for Cementos Argos are the consequence of a rigorous implementation of our strategy that has allowed us to keep on that profitability growth through the reduction of the capital work cycle, the discipline of capital allocation, and innovation, which is the focus that we will be our priority for the rest of this year. Now let's move on to slides 22 and 25, that we'll be able to see the results of the energy business. In this business, we keep on taking significant leaps in terms of the defined strategy. We began the year with the operation of the self-generation assets under the EPSA brand, converting it into the investment platform for the Colombian operations, improving organizational capacities and optimizing the energy portfolio management. At the same time, Celsius participation was consolidated in this company through the acquisition of 1.87 percent additional, closing with a 63.2%. It is strengthening of the sales position in EPSA as part of the reorganization process for the capital structure of the energy business led to closing the purchase of the distribution assets and the energy commercialization business in Tolima, which will allow doubling actual users in order to reach 1.1 million customers. We hope that starting from second quarter of this year, EPSA will begin to operate this asset, adding close to 200 billion Colombian pesos to our current EBITDA. The execution of this strategy was supported by financial markets, from which we obtained resources of 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos through bonds with very competitive rates in a demand that reached 2 trillion Colombian pesos. In the distribution and transmission segment, we satisfactorily ended the delivery of LAN 5 Caribe project with investments that add a value of close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos. I want to highlight that the execution of this project happened under the pre-established time and with the budgeted investment complying to the region, to the country, and to the shareholders of this project. In terms of generations, we have a 49% advancement in the San Andres project. As well, we advanced in our bid in Central America with non-conventional renewable energy projects. In Honduras, plans advanced with the construction of the first solar farm that will be supplying 18% of the electric demand of Cementos Argos operation in that country that we hope that will be operational at the end of this year. Without no doubt, we keep on strongly advancing in this business, placing the basis for us to grow profitably as the financial results that we previously show. On slide 24, we could see how, in terms of energy generation, there was a satisfactory behavior that, in any case, did not increase the same values of the 2018 period. And this is a time with atypical high figures due to the undeclared conditions of La Niña phenomenon, which we had also a very high generation in the Cerca Filtre zone due to failures in the system that impacted the Caribbean zone, which led to a higher level of generation due to safety. But this was positively compensated with higher prices in the spot market, which presented a variation of 95% year after year in Colombia. Moving on with the financial results, on slide 25, we could see the growth of a 2% in consolidated revenues for the quarter, which reached 861 billion Colombian pesos, from which Colombia contributed 705 billion. Colombian pesos. The majority of the revenues that came from this revenue from this region, were supported by higher sales to the non-regulated market and higher contributions in the transmission business due to the startup operations of the Plan 5 Caribe project. In terms of the revenue reduction in Central America, if currently we don't have the expected contract for Bahía de las Minas, the Central has a very good operational performance that has proven to be a very valuable asset for the electric system of Panama. Its relevance in its system was proven in the first quarter of this year when it was asked to generate due to the interruptions of the electric fluid in several parts of the country. The companies will be watching over the capacity that we'll have open for this year. In terms of the EBITDA, despite the fact of having a reduction of 5% year after year, I want to highlight that we feel satisfied with these numbers, given that the comparison base of last year was atypically high. And this figure is relevant to mention the contribution of the Colombian operation, which contributed with an EBITDA of 238 billion Colombian pesos, the highest EBITDA of the first quarter in Celsia's history, which represented 86% of the consolidated EBITDA of this company. Net debt at the end of the first quarter reached 3.5 trillion Colombian pesos, with a net debt EBITDA indicator of 2.9 times, which is consistent with a higher execution with projects associated to the organizational growth, the highest financial expense, as well as higher tax and revenue provision, led to a net controlling profit that closed in 34 billion Colombian pesos, showing a decrease of 33%. The results that we have seen till the moment in this business are coherent with the defined strategy and mark a solid base for the consolidation of the operations, both in the distribution segment as well as for the growth in non-conventional energy generation. Looking at this energy business results, I want to invite you to check the real estate business results that you will be able to find on slide 27. For the first quarter, this business unit registered revenues for 32 billion Colombian pesos in the urban development business, which includes land appraisals, dividends, and structurings. We also want to mention that in the first quarter, we saw a very important increase in the constructors' appetite for the residential product in Barranquilla City. This appetite is also seen in the quarter figures, where the housing index prices publicated to Dania, which showed a 2.96%. In terms of the real estate rental business, we want to highlight during the first quarter, the gross rentable area reached 6.9%, reaching 773,000 square meters, explained by the Colgate distribution center in Palmira and the Confederación Hilton Hotel in Bogotá. The assets under administration at the end of March added 3.7 trillion Colombian pesos, and liabilities reached 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos. Bearing in mind the value of the unit at the end of this first quarter, the participation of Grupo Argos for this investment reaches 666 billion Colombian pesos. Parallelly, we keep on working in highlighting the role of the private companies as an engine of progress and social equality. We firmly believe that when we generate value for our company, we're also creating value for society. Because of this, we have proposed measuring the positive and negative impact that are derived from our activities as a tool named the State of Added Value to Society, known as VAS. As you can see on slide number 30, for year 2018, the implementation of this measurement shows us that Grupo Argos as a holding gave society almost two times the economic value that we retained in that same period. This proves the positive and synergic behavior of our business activities, both in the economic dimension, but as well as the positive and negative dimension in our social and environmental impact, showing that more than 40% of this positive impact are found in the economic dimension represented in salaries and taxes. The figures that you've seen till the moment added to our conviction to good acting as a sustainable manner of maintaining sustainable and integral value allows us to see a promising future, both in the short as well as in the long term. During 2019, we expect stabilized economic behavior in the majority of the economies where we are present, markets such as the United States, Colombia, and Panama growing over the last 5-year average. This behavior, joined to a solid strategy, clear strategy executed in a disciplined manner, will allow us to keep on being optimistic in terms of the future of Grupo Argos in the next quarters. During the year, we will concentrate in the increase of the profitability and financial flexibility of the cement business in strengthening operational synergies and strengthening the capital structure in the energy business and the consolidation of our current portfolio and structuring in Odensa. This will be our key pieces for a strategy that, jointly driven, pretends generating a higher profitability for our shareholders and a larger financial flexibility in order to keep on strengthening our position as a relevant holding of infrastructure that operates in the Americas. So with this, I'd like to end my intervention and open space now for the Q&A session. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, comment, or query, please press star and one. If your question has already been answered or if you want to be removed from the list. And our first question comes from Juliana Aguilar from Bancolombia. Hello, good afternoon for you all. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. First one is if you could share with us what's happening with the constitution of the strategic partner for Odensa, if you're still analyzing this alternative or not. And second is, how much do you believe, or for when do you believe, this process with ANI it could take in order to define the Maya Vial del Meta project? Juliana, thank you for your question, very relevant. Well, the process of searching for a partner, as we've mentioned before, more than a specific project, it's a redefinition of how this group sees the work with specific partners in different concession areas. This work goes through having three different levels, three different possible partner levels, according to the way we structure concessions right now. One could be at an Odensa level, as the entity that groups all the concession businesses of the group, which Argos Group is close to 100% participation levels. A second business would be participation of investors that will contribute to the value. We have two centers that we operate, both roads or airports. And a third would be a complement of the other two, is the ability of having specific business partners in certain projects. In the majority of the projects where we are having participations, we have partners, and that's a dynamic process that changes in time, that has been evolving year after year. We've increased certain participations, we've reduced certain participations, and we have actually partners in the majority of the projects we have. Obviously, we've defined having a controlling position in all of this, not just due to accounting effects, but also in order to deploy our business model that's coherent with our principles and values and with the way we see this business. And this process is much more advanced. At a holding level, as I mentioned, we are not seeking for a partner for Freddie Holding or for the airports. There are placements in terms of assets that in the moment that we find a possibility of finding a business partner that just not recognizes the adequate value, but at the same time complements the competences that Grupo Argos has through its concession business in Odessa, we're not discarding the idea of a business partner, but we don't have a specific project where we have a specific time frame for us finding a partner. So, I'll ask for an open conversation, because there's been interest shown by several institutional actors, but that will consolidate in the measure that a possible partner recognizes a fair value, but also complements our strength. So, for Majorial del Meta, I'd like to take this opportunity to speak about what happened with this arbitration, and I'd like to ask Mauricio Osa, who's with us, if he could briefly tell us what the reach of this ruling that we had with ANI, and what's the reach of those negotiation tables, and which are the times, and which are the possible scenarios. Mauricio, could you help us out with this? Well, if the body's not here, I could speak about that ruling a little bit. And the ruling came from a mutual agreement that we had with the National Infrastructure Agency. Fine, because we found that there was a very important diversion that impacted the fundamentals of the risk matrix that we initially contemplated in this project. That risk matrix, which were higher than what we had scoped, led to a very drastic price reduction, and also in terms of the economic activity coming from the traffic, both from agro industry as well as crude oil, but at the same time is the impossibility of implementing rate increases. So those two situations led to the fact that the contract could not be financeable. So I said two important things here. The first thing is that the risks were further that the risk matrix should be assumed by the concessionary, and this implied that the project could not be executed, because it had to be 100% equity driven, and could be financed by the financial sector. These two elements led to implement a six-month time in order for both parties to sit down at a negotiation table with specialized commissions to re-establish changing the fundamentals or changing the scope of construction. So that was a six-month time period was given, and there were discussion tables. And this came from the discussions, and this came to the end of the contract. So, summarizing, we have a six-month period. Okay, thank you. Our second question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez from Davivienda Corredor. Good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. The first question is bearing in mind that in the Tolima's asset acquisition, you mentioned that the net debt EBITDA will drop from 3.9 to 2.65 times for the end of 2019, and also bearing in mind the investment needs that not the distribution business has. I'd like to know what role can Argos Group play in this strategy, and what role could the business have, and how attractive a new capitalization would be, or maybe a similar type of move. And my second question, and I can ask my second question afterwards. And the second question is bearing in mind the EBITDA audience end of loans of EBITDA and Odinsa. What strategies do you have in terms of pay or to leverage this debt? You know, and the requirements you have for your normal operations and the different stages of your different projects. And more now, thinking on the future needs that this Dorado project could and generate. I'd like to know which strategies are going to be taken in order to manage this debt for 2019. Thank you, Mauricio. Two very interesting questions. But let me start speaking about the Tolima assets acquisition. This was done at 1.68 trillion Colombian pesos. This have a bond emission close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, plus a credit that's in dollars, and in pesos, it's basically to pay in the moment of the transfer. Structurally speaking, what we will have is that there's a portion of the equity that EPSA, that's the one that buys this, will be as equity. The structure of debt is the one that comes from the bonds that were issued. This is a short-term debt that's substituted through an equity contribution coming from the EPSA associates. So this would be 38% in EPSA Cali and 62% Celsia. So there's a capital mentioned at an EPSA level that will be contributed by Celsia and by the Valle Cauca partners. So this means that this plus the existing assets, with this we can pay the structural portion of the equities equivalent, both in the Tolima's asset and the ones that support the EBITDA generations. So this is the way it's going to be done. So let me give the word to Alejandro and then to Paula Rojave so they could expand a bit more on the financing strategies. that we have for Odessa. Thank you, Jorge. Complementing what we were mentioning before, thinking about the capital structure that was used, there's two important things that we need to mention. Well, first, the amount of emission done by EBSA, 1.1 trillion, is 1.1 trillion, around 300 billion Colombian pesos. This is around the debt that EBSA had, another 800 billion Colombian pesos, using the capital structure capacity that EBSA has, that has a triple A rating. The most important thing here is that product of that, what we are able to do is to improve the capital structure, improve the cost of the debt of Celsia in a certain way, reduce cost as a consolidated value, as well as the total structure of the company, which leads to an improvement of the capital structure of the capital cost of Celsia. So there's an improvement from a taxation point of view. Nothing that comes through the capitalization, the percentage comes from an injection done by the different business partners, one from Valle de Cauca and the other from Celsia. So what we're going to do first is there's going to be credits, both in pesos and dollars, that will be propagated through a disinvestment strategy that, from an indicator point of view for Celsia, this involves that at the end of the day, there will be changes in leveraging. There will be a provisional increase while the structure is set up. But in terms of the business, this will have a lower net debt EBITDA value. In terms of the expiry date or the expiry profile, we should mention that thanks to the contract, so we have in Odessa, we have an obligation for the Pacific Loss equity, but Odessa should contribute this year is something close to 33 billion Colombian pesos. That's the part of the equity that Odessa has to respond for. Further than that equity contribution obligation, the other projects led by Odessa and that are advancing satisfactorily in the National Infrastructure Agency, and there's no clear obligation from equity contributions, and more specifically for 2019. So mentioning this, it's also important to mention as product of the bond emission for Keyboard, as Jorge mentioned during the teleconference, product of that will receive resources close to $125 million. These resources in these cases, the sources are much higher than the obligations that we have. But we are clearly thinking with these resources that we'll be receiving, a product of the profits that we'll be giving out from Keyport. This year, the idea is to amortize the debt with the Quito acquisition for Quito. Closed this acquisition in December 2015, and its moment it was done by leverage. So we are this amortizing. We would be amortizing the associated debt. This is key from a value point of view, because we will have a very important return over the invested capital. 3 years after the investment, we have recovered great part of the capital of the money that we had invested. Besides that, we're also working on reclassifying the debt, because as it was mentioned, the expired profile is short term. And we are doing this with Odessa of these lenses where we are checking part or reviewing part of the debt in dollars. We are thinking on a time frame of 3 and 5 years, and in that way we could reorganize part of the debt that Audiencia has had. So between the prepayment of the associated debt plus this operation that we're mentioning, we could feel easy in terms that the expiry profile for EBITDA's debt 2019 will be changed, expanding the terms, the time terms, and reducing the negative impact that could come in the short term. And I want to reiterate that the obligations of the equity contribution are constrained to 36 billion Colombian pesos from the equity contribution to Pacifico. Okay, thank you. Understood. Third question comes from Milena Garcia. Good afternoon. Thank you for your conference. My question is, if you could maybe give us more details about the revenue contribution in the portfolio segment. Of course, let me give the word to Alejandro Piedraita, that will be explaining the details. And well, the contribution is important. It has a very important growth, more specifically in the participation method for the business partners. Alejandro could be giving a bit more information about this. Going over the report, the portfolio report in terms of revenues, we would be speaking about 45 billion Colombian pesos compared to 2018. This contribution is mainly explained through the participation method that we do through Grupo Sura. Grupo Sura, apart from 2018, contribution was 70 billion Colombian pesos. This contribution was from 70 to 118 billion Colombian pesos. And this is mainly, this explains the growth through this side. There's another contribution, that's dividend. It's just close to 200 billion Colombian pesos, which is mainly explained by Grupo Sura's results. So that account is composed by the investors of Grupo Sura and Nutresa. Basically, through Grupo Sura, and we have another series of companies that are much smaller, including, for example, in consolidations. We have the audience's construction businesses. We also have revenues for small companies owned by us. But this is mainly explained by the Posura. Yes. Thank you. And the dress has actually not included there, just for you to know. Next question comes from Stefania Mosquera from Credit Quest Capital. Good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to understand a little bit about the performance of the real estate sector in this first quarter. I'm seeing that you have a negative EBITDA for the segment, and I'd like to, if you could explain a bit more about this figure, the rationale behind this figure, and also the reduction of this segment, James. Your comparison. Estefania, let me give the word to Maria Clara Vistisala, who's with us. She could explain this a bit better. But let me do an introduction. Just to give you a context here, the real estate business exposition we have two parts. Which is, and I'll be explaining them both. This is basically a vehicle to expose longer-term rentals, and how has the rentable area has grown. In the real estate business, we need to emphasize before giving the word to Maria Clara, and that is that we've done a substantial change and fundamental for the strategy in the real estate development. And this is a change that has to do with the typology of how do we structure the sales of a real estate business. We have two ways, or you do an upfront investment to do real estate development, urbanism develop, big urbanism development that require very important financing, and or do a much more competitive investment, but through time, but smaller. So you could do an investment upfront and you'll run a larger risk in terms of exposition as time goes by. The other one is based on segmenting the total asset and finding different uses, if there are commercial uses, residential or institutional. What type, if they're residential, what types of housing are we going to be having? Social income status 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And then do small investments in this area, going for larger terrains that will allow doing a smaller investment up front, having a larger sellable area, and because of that, the net present value of this investment will be much better in our case, in the majority of the businesses that we carry out. This is the second. The second one is the one that we're executing. This means that we not necessarily we're selling lots every month or every quarter. These are not lots that are a bit bigger. So the important thing here to say, and I really want to appreciate your Alan. Thank you for your question, because it's fundamental to understand how the variation of the disinvestment speed of the land is part of our strategy, and it's also part of the speed that we can have for the terrain supply and supply there to maximize value and then don't destroy the residual value of land. So this is really based on a strategy, but let me give the word to Maria Clara so she can comment on this. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Stephanie, effectively, the main reason is explained by the strategic change that Jorge Mario has already explained, that migration towards selling larger land lots, not urbanized land lots. So as Jorge mentioned, we are not running with the CapEx since the beginning, and this doesn't become a speculative business that will depend on what the market asks for, but we have previously done a negotiation that actually takes a long time. We're speaking of negotiations that might take 1 year or longer, but in the state of results, we could just see the approximations when the writings are done. So it's because of that we could see a higher volatility a quarter after quarter. But if we analyze this longer periods of time, for example, yearly, we could see much more clear trends. You could see, for example, in the fourth quarter, we had 30 hectares with rankings, which could have taken 18 times. And as a second factor, I'll tell you that this has to do with the first quarter of this year, because you're asking for, in the quarter, we do all the writings of the property. So in the first quarter, we don't have as many, because first of all, in order for you to get the documents of the land lot, you need to have paid all your debts. So the effect of these two things leads to this result in the first quarter, that this will be smoothened as time goes by. Okay, so there's no more questions or comments. So thank you all for participating in this conference. This team is open to any doubts or questions that you might have in the future, both the real estate businesses as well as concession businesses, as well as the holding businesses. Natalia and all the team is more than open to answering up your questions. So, Natalia, thank you all, and good afternoon for you all. So, thank you for your participation. This will be the end of our program. Thank you all.